Hi, I'm Jen Sherlock, and welcome to my lifestyle podcast, Live Without a Net. The podcast showcases people who live fearlessly and have the ambition to create something. I'll showcase change makers who have decided to let go of their safety net in order to survive. So let's jump right in. Hi, I'm Jen Sherlock. Welcome to Live Without a Net. I have two fabulous guests here today. They're both dynamic women. I have Sam Wood and Jackie Renan of Inspire Agency. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks so much for having us,
Jen. Yeah, thanks, Jen.
Great to be here.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I don't even know your full story, except that you both started working together in 2020 as business partners. But before that, you were in business together. So I kind of want to hear about your entrepreneurial journey, because I assume you're both working separately, not for yourselves, but I don't know, before 2020 and then joined forces?
Well, here, is it okay if I start?
Yeah.
Actually, my whole career, I have always been out on my own as a contractor. I've honestly never been an employee. So before meeting Sam, I was just running my own small solo business. And then when COVID hit, that was like when we met in person for the first time, but we had already been working together. I was subcontracting some design work to her when I was consulting with a tech startup company. And I love working with her. And I thought, oh my God, this girl's so good. And I trust her. I trust her more than I trust myself. So I invited her to dinner. And then ultimately, like, that was how our actual partnership joined, because we had just launched another project. We were celebrating that one went well. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, we could actually build an agency here if we wanted. Are you interested in that? And she luckily said yes.
Yeah. I have a little bit of a different background. I did work full time for other businesses. I've kind of been in-house and on the agency side for a couple of different companies and agencies. And at one point I got laid off from an agency that I was working with because the company sold and they laid off like 40 of us. And at that moment I was like, okay, I don't want this to ever happen again. And I had been doing a lot of different side businesses, you know, outside of my full-time job, like whether that was like MLM stuff, I had an Etsy store, you know, I was doing all these things except for what I was good at. And I was like, why am I not, you know, translating what I do at my full-time job into like freelance work and getting paid for that on the side. So when I got laid off, obviously I had to find a full-time job because I needed income. And I did, I had a contract position, but then I established the LLC for what is Inspire today when that moment happened. And so then I kind of cultivated clients on the side. And then a year later, my contract also got cut like really like to 15 hours a week. And I was like, okay, this is it. I need to go all in on my business. Like, this is the moment. I didn't have kids currently. I had, you know, friends living with me. So I rent was like really cheap. And I was like, okay, if I ever want to do this, I feel like the moment's now. And so I started that business. And a year later, I met Jack. And like Jack said, then we decided to join forces.
And now 5 years later, here we are.
Yeah. What is it like being two women business owners?
I would say I never really like think that about it as that we're doing this because we're women. I think it was just what we already did. We were already designers. Like, I consider myself a designer more than I think about myself as a woman in business. It's like I'm a person in design.
Yeah, but I think that there's a little bit of a dynamic when you have two women, and not that I ever want to put down men. I've worked with a lot of great men in my career and know a lot of great men who would do the same thing. But I feel like Jackie and I really consider one another and value each other's input. And I don't think we try and step on each other in any way or make decisions without one another. And I think that aspect of just being like a nurturing woman, I think is helpful. And it's probably what has kept us going.
Yeah, there's a built-in like empathy and respect and loyalty from one another. And over the years, I had tried to partner with a lot of other people. And during those early partnerships, things usually failed very quickly, probably because the other person's work ethic didn't match my own. So that was one of the things that was really different in this partnership.
Yeah,
I love that. I know it's so hard. I've seen so many business partners, mostly men, be successful with it, but I've seen a lot of I want to say women partnerships fall apart in some ways. So it's like, I think it's really impressive that you two found a way, like your yin and yang, to make it work. I think it's hard for anyone. It doesn't matter if it's
female.
I don't feel like we've ever even been in a situation that has like tested us hard. Like we've gone through difficult
things. I don't think we've ever argued.
But we've never argued in 5 years. It's like, we'll just figure out a way to like handle that.
Yeah.
Or like one of us, if somebody is upset, the other one stays calm during that time and like holds space.
Yeah.
I love that. You guys can teach some people things, I think. So in terms of branding, and I know you said you think of yourself as a designer, Jackie, how do you design or brand other companies? Like what's your formula when you meet a new client?
Our formula. Well, first it's learning about who they are and making ourselves as close to an expert as we can in a quick amount of time to understand who they are and who they serve and what they do. And then looking at their competitors to make sure that anything we're going to do is not at all like what their competitors are doing to make them stand apart.
Mm-hmm. I feel like there's this kind of gap in the marketplace, at least from what I've seen working with some of our clients, is that either you have a big agency that you're paying a lot of money for to do a lot of the research to, find some of your clients and ask them questions, you know, interview people internally, like do all of the market research and whatnot. And prior to doing the branding, right? Because you need to have that foundational level, especially when you're not a part of the business all the time. But I feel like there's these two levels of, so there's that level of needing to do all of the research before you start making the logo, doing the colors, doing the brand look and feel and creating a system, all those things, right? And then I feel like there's this lower level of a designer that's just, how can I make a logo for you as quickly as possible, right? And so Jackie and I feel like as a creative boutique agency, if we want to call ourselves that, it's that happy medium of we're not the price tag of a massive, you know, branding agency, but we're not just creating a logo and we won't just do that. We do the research, the competitive analysis and all of those things for those mid-sized companies that are looking to up-level and need to have experts that come in and create that foundation for them so that they can scale with a brand that can grow with them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Because I've worked with branding agencies and I've referred business like over the years since I started my company, and some are definitely like hundreds of thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. And I know what you mean. I forget that logo site where you can just go and tell them what you want to pay to get a logo created. You know what I'm talking about?
Like Fiverr or
one of those, yeah.
Lines. Yeah, sure. You can get something for $30 or AI can spit something out for you. But
or you can make something on Canva now.
Yeah, it won't really be backed by much. And it'll probably look like it came from one of those places.
Yeah.
We'll be able to tell. Other designers will be able to tell.
That's so true. How important is it for a company to be cohesive with their brand?
It's incredibly important. I think consistency, or not that I think, I know, that when a brand consistently shows up online, it builds trust, right? Just like any sort of relationship. When you have a friend, and I'm just going to make a comparison, when you have a friend that consistently shows up for you in the same way, they're dependable, you know, if something's wrong, they'll be there to help, you know, whatever it may be. That's the same thing as a brand, right? It should act like a human, right? So when you're in need of certain service or you need support or whatever, you need to show up, not just as a customer service person, but as a brand visually as well, you know, consistently over time.
I'll say we work with a lot of mission-driven organizations or nonprofits. And if they don't look consistent across their brand, are people really going to feel comfortable giving or donating to those organizations? Like there's a legitimacy that comes with looking polished and organized.
And do you find that some clients maybe just don't get it and think that they can make it without a website these days or without social media?
Yeah. That's a lot of like smaller entrepreneurs that think that. I think if you're, you know, you have a mid-sized to larger business and you're a savvy business owner, I think you get it at that point. But there's a lot of people that are just starting businesses or, you know, have some initial funding that maybe just want to do it as quickly as possible and spend as least amount as possible. And I would say that's not technically really the people that we want to work with.
The do-it-yourselfer types, I mean, maybe they've actually grown their business to the point that now they're realizing that having the brand foundation is becoming essential to where they want to go. And a lot of times they find us at that stage.
Yeah, I love that. What do you think the most important story, or how important do you think storytelling is within branding?
I think it's essential, especially when the organization has a good story. Like, why aren't we utilizing that? Why aren't we telling the feedback of like the people that you've helped, telling the story and like case studies? All of that becomes like very foundational tools for that client to use, to attract more clients and other people that are in alignment with what they do or have or need.
Yeah, agreed.
And AI, everyone's using it now. I mean, from students to companies. And I know when I ask interns, sometimes they tell me that their teachers say it's okay. They encourage it. And I found bigger companies that I've worked with say that they encourage it, you know, as long as they use it right. And how do you feel about it? Because every day it seems like it's growing and growing. It's good and scary in some ways.
I think it depends on the application and how you look at it. I think there are incredibly good use cases across the board from a process perspective, from a, doing things quicker than somebody like a human would be able to do. But there are a lot of spots within AI that need more massaging as well. I think in the branding space, AI is not something we use quite often, maybe from a brand strategy and research perspective, but not from like a visual perspective. It's just not there yet. Nor do I hope it's never there yet. Yeah. or that's probably better wording for that. But so all the programs that we use from a design perspective, and I also teach at Temple University, I've been an adjunct there for 10 years. So all of the programs, design programs, have had some part of AI in them for a long time. There's been a lot of like image generating capabilities or pieces of images that you could do within Photoshop for a decade now. So there's been a lot of implementation of AI into the programs over the past 3 years that do make it easier to create things on the fly. And the way that I like to describe it to my students is that it's not replacing your creativity. It's just helping you get to the end product quicker. For example, there is a feature within Photoshop that if your photo isn't the correct size that you need it to be, maybe it's you purchase something on iStock that's vertical, but you need it to be horizontal. You can literally change the size of the photo and AI will add in what it thinks should be there. And a lot of the times it does a really good job. And for us, it would take forever to fake a photo, right? Pieces of a photo from scratch versus being able to do that rather quickly. And it just fill in some bushes or fill in a brick wall or whatever. That just creates efficiencies in your workflow that necessarily aren't something you really want to spend your time on.
I actually used it yesterday after Sam reminded me that I could use it within Photoshop, the AI that's available in there. I was correcting something on a map. It had too many things noted. The map was too complicated and too busy. So I had it stripping out places and names. And honestly, in like 30 seconds, I was like, wow, I just did that manually. And it took me like 15 minutes. And this just did it in like 15 seconds. So to me, that was actually really essential because it was just busy work, honestly. Yeah. I knew exactly what I wanted it to do. And just by telling it what to do, it did it.
Yeah.
I love that. I haven't tried to use Photoshop in years, so I'm sure.
And I'll say like for something like social copy, we run a lot of social channels for our clients and I feel like it's a great starting tool a lot of times for something like that. It always needs finessing, but it does like a very good start. So for copywriting, I think it can be like very handy or outlining something. So I'm embracing it as much as I wanted to resist it for a long time. I'm finding it really useful.
I tried to resist it until like maybe the past, like, I don't know, 6 months or less, but because everyone is using it. They're using ones I keep hearing of Grok and some other ones that I've never tried. But I think the whole world, it's going to be the norm very soon. Mm-hmm. I think
it won't take away design and like the thinking and the training that we have. Like it's not that sophisticated, at least not yet.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Like even in PR, there were years I had people on my payroll. I mean, years that AI would have saved me like hundreds of thousands of dollars over the years. Because a lot of them, I was hiring them to help me write and all mm-hmm. of the things. And it's like, but at the same time, like I know how to do it from scratch completely, but I do fear that the younger generation will probably never learn from scratch, like AP for writing, AP mm-hmm. style, things like that. For you, it's learning how to actually do everything yourself within Photoshop or another tool.
Yeah. Like, so I'll just share when I was in design school, and I'm a bit older than Sam. So when I was going through design, they were teaching me like the very basics of what graphic design was founded on. So I actually wouldn't have become a designer if the industry stayed the same as it was. By the time I was graduating, it was like you weren't making mock-ups of things. Things already looked final, but the process used to be so much longer from like when things were like hand-tooled or hand-setting typography. I would have never done that. It was so much better as soon as the computer got involved.
Yeah.
That's so true. And in terms of entrepreneurship, what is your biggest struggle within the business?
I think it's probably, until recently, we have really leaned into our network of people we've already known and the businesses that we've worked with and the referrals. So I think more recently, we've really put ourselves out there in a networking capacity. But before that, we've kind of gotten ourselves into like a feast and famine sort of cycle. And I think a lot of smaller businesses do, just from the fact of you get clients, you get busy, and then the projects end, and then you're like, oh shit, I have to like sell again. And I think for us, that's probably been the biggest hurdle to get through.
Because we'll have other designers or other staff members come on when we get really busy, and then all of a sudden, we'll complete things really fast and then we'll need more work. So how do we like make that cycle go smoother so that it isn't this feast or famine that we're in all the time?
So it's just like implementing those sales processes that never stop and trying not to stop them.
You know? But we've never had like a full-time employee. We've brought on consultants. And as we've talked to other like mentors and other entrepreneurs, a few of them have encouraged us like, oh, it would be great if you could actually have like an employee because they take things more seriously and they're more dedicated versus just a contractor. But I'm not sure that that is the direction that we've ever wanted to go, probably because like I came from consulting. So I thought it was fine being a freelancer and you either care or you don't in whatever capacity you're working with someone.
Yeah. And I can tell you like firsthand, I used to have so many employees and I mean, it helped me, for example, in COVID with the PPP, like you needed people on payroll, but I mean, I could have written a book 10 years ago at the time. It was just like millennials. We didn't talk about Gen Z, I guess. But hopefully Gen Z is different, but I'm not so sure. But like, I had problems for years. They didn't really care. And then remote wasn't even a thing. And they still wanted to, you know, work from home or do what they wanted and work when they wanted. And I don't know. And then I started doing consultants. Like, I'm the kind of opposite of you guys. And then I started doing consultants, like 1099 people, but like, after that, you know, but then I was like, why didn't I do that before? Because I had mentors over the years who always tell me to put people on payroll. And now I think, why? Because I don't know if that was needed. I don't know. I agree with you though. Like,
then you have the overhead. And if you do have like that cycle of not having business, and then you're like worried about, am I going to be able to pay people?
And we've had the luxury of like, we've always been remote. So our overhead is very low for our business because we're not paying for a space. It's like, we just basically can run everything off of a laptop and some programs.
Yeah, that's so true. I love that. That's the beauty that COVID changed. Cause I mean, I used to have a big office too and I don't have that anymore. So it's nice. And I think most people are that way, or they're like 3 days a week in the office or 2 days a week in the office and then remote. Big company. But I agree. I don't know. That's a question that I guess we could ask our mentors, you know, like I wouldn't mind having, you know, a lot of employees again, something like that. But I don't know. It's like, I kind of
want to manage. Like, do you want that responsibility of managing all those people?
I think consultants are the way to go. And then if they're like good, then you can possibly hire them full time. Or that's what I do even with a lot of interns and things. Like I make sure they're full service.
It's been rare for us to ever have a freelancer that became client interfacing. Maybe we've had one. I'm thinking one in the past. But mostly we just run our business that we're the ones that are the client interface, making sure things are going smoothly. And then they're getting the experts.
Exactly.
Everything's overseen by us.
Yeah, face to face with you, with both of you. I mean, that's mm-hmm. they get one or the other. And I know you guys have your strengths and, you know, what the other does better than yourself. So I think that's really, really cool. So just to help other entrepreneurs out there who may want to get into branding, like how can they start? Do you guys have any tips?
You want to go?
We talked about this briefly. It's just do it. It's really, you know, it can be or feel overwhelming, but just do it. I think when we were talking earlier, one of the things that I've learned over the past couple of years is the concept of fail fast, right? So if you want to become your own boss, you want to become an entrepreneur, just try it and try it quickly, right? See what happens when you put yourself out there. Because if you don't do it, you'll never know. And if you don't do it, you'll never learn from anything. So it's like, you just have to like jump.
In the design space, it seems like there's a lot of ways to do it gradually. Mm-hmm. Like you could have a part-time or a full-time job for a company and you start freelancing. And then all of a sudden the freelance starts to take over and there's more and more. And then all of a sudden you make that transition. So I think for, you know, younger designers or somebody wanting to go out on their own, you can jump, but it's nice to know that you like have something to fall back on. Like I've had one client that has followed, I've been with them my entire career. They are still with us in our agency today. And the relationship just changed and evolved. So like if you do a good job for a company, like they'll stay with you and there will be some loyalty. And now they get our whole team instead of just me.
Right. I love that. Yeah, I think a lot of people have fear and that's why they don't ever start is what I think it comes from. And they need, I mean, we all need stability, but I think some people are like risk takers or more, I guess are risk takers as opposed to not taking the chance.
I mean, I decided to like carry two basically households on my own and did it for years. So like that felt like a pretty big risk at times. And it's like, you know, somehow I did it. Mm-hmm. I just did it. You do what you have to, you know, and if you lose a client, you just have to have the tenacity to get back out there and know that that's not the future. That's just like a temporary situation. Mm-hmm. Or if you have a month that's really low, know that there will be other months that are, you know, much more fruitful coming up in your future. Because we've definitely seen the ups and downs of that. Like some months are awesome. And other months you're like, wow, what happened there?
Same. I know, I get it. It's that's the beauty of entrepreneurship. Because when it's good, you're like, wow, this is great.
But there's also no ceiling, you know? Yeah. So when you work for yourself, sky's the limit.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because it's like, we can accomplish whatever we want, or at least try to. You know,
and you get to work with whoever you want. At that point, you can become picky about who you're working with.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, let's talk about who you work with. Do you work with specific verticals or are you like me that kind of handle every niche from like nonprofits, sports, restaurants, whatever it may be?
Yes.
Yeah.
We say we're like you.
Like, yeah. We work with all kinds of businesses across the board. Like, for example, right now we have a helmet cover company that we both help. For the football helmet cover. Then we have like a pasta sauce company, but then we also have the Upper Darby Arts and Education Foundation, which is a nonprofit. We have
an insurance client.
We have a financial firm, a student loan lender. We partner with other agencies as well to become like a white labeled partner. So we do you know, other agencies that don't offer creative services. We partner with them to support their clients when they need creative help. So we're kind of all over the map. I mean, we've done, I mean, we could list all kinds
like
of
product companies, yeah, or service-based companies.
B2B, B2C, all over.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way. What do you think the best way is to gain a client? Do you think it's referral-based is the best from what you've found so far?
Well, I would say the past year has really taught me that face-to-face meetings and not just meeting someone over Zoom after I've met them at a networking event have gotten us entire contracts just by me driving into Philadelphia to meet someone for 30 minutes. They're like, wow, you know, that's amazing that you came all the way down here. And I'm like, huh, I miss doing that. So I'm happy to do it. So I think actually being out in public and we're at an office and meeting someone makes a world of difference.
Yeah, but I would say our business has been built on referrals.
Yeah.
Since we started, it's word of mouth and referral. We've never really done actual marketing for ourselves. Yeah.
And the longevity of our clients, I mean, really tells that like they like working with us. So then therefore they refer us to people.
Yeah. No, I'm the same way. Word of mouth. I've never done advertising, but I've thought about it for sure.
We think about it too.
Yeah. And we're like, oh, we'll put that on the back burner for now.
Then we get busy and we're like, oh, we don't need to do that right now.
Yeah.
No, because it's expensive. It's so expensive. Mm-hmm. You get like the results in terms of like impressions or clicks, but then you don't really know if it's translating to sales. You know, it depends. Depends on the client. Like whenever I had to broker it out over the years, like it's really, it depends on the client. Some will say, oh, that didn't work. And then others will say, yeah, I got some, you know, some business out of it. So
yeah, it depends on the niche and industry, I think.
Yeah, I agree. So do you guys have any big projects that you'd like to announce or anything coming up besides what I know with Safer, which we have some cool stuff there with events in September?
Well, I don't want to jinx us, but there's a few things that we're definitely waiting on that we should hear from in the next week or so that I'm really excited about. Mm-hmm. So probably after this comes out.
I mean, recently we launched the new website for Avenue of the Arts. We've just completed a big, almost 30-page annual report for the Salvation Army.
We haven't shared that one.
Yeah, we haven't done that one yet. We did a full 69th Street takeover here at the next 69th Street station in West Philly. All 55 ad placements in the station, bus, terminal, train, all the stuff.
Yeah. For the outside too.
Yeah, for the Delaware County Health Department. I think it's still running, up and running right now.
I think like it was all
the 3 months. Yeah.
Well, it's been pretty cool to see one of our clients in action because their big thing is summer stage, and that's been going on all summer. So they recently invited us to see two different productions. So now that we've seen it, I haven't been to one since I was a child, and I thought, wow, this is amazing. And what's exciting for them is that this is their 50th anniversary year, and they are opening a physical location around New Year's. So it's called The Spark, and that'll be in Upper Darby, Pennsylvania, for music and arts programs for children, adults, seniors, special needs. Mm-hmm. It's like literally something for everyone. So we're really excited about that project.
I love that. And then do you update your website accordingly just for any upcoming projects if people check in?
Not all the time. Yeah. I think recently we've added some logos and testimonials and a couple case studies, but just the breadth of the work that both Jackie and I and the team have done is so massive that it would be really hard to put it all on the website. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times when we meet a new client, we don't, yes, we'll say, you know, visit our website, but it's also like, what type of project are you looking to complete? Because we can send you samples because we have such a repertoire of things that it's easier for us to just send specific examples for the project type that they're looking for versus just sending them to the website.
Yeah, the massive portfolio, we can just single out certain things for them to look at.
Yeah.
Same. I need to update my website talking to you guys. I'm like, I'm asking you, but mine hasn't been updated long time.
I mean, we just recently added some stuff, but the website that you see is literally the one we did in 2020.
That's so funny. All right. So like last words of advice, and then let people know where they can find you if they want to hire you or get a consult. I don't know how you do your first consult, but let people know in case they want to reach out and just get their brand known and cohesive.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously the website inspire.agency is our URL, but I think Jackie and I are most active on LinkedIn. So Samantha Wood, Jacqueline Renan on LinkedIn is a great place to connect with us. Shoot us a DM. Yeah.
A piece of advice.
No.
Thinking about that one.
What was the question? Just a piece of advice in general?
Yeah. I know we already asked about, you know, how to inspire someone to kind of like let go and be their own entrepreneur, but there has to be other tidbits.
I would say a lot of it is just showing up. Even if you don't feel like in the mood for something that day, or you just go anyway or do it anyway. I feel like so much of life is just showing up, because the energy is different when you get there and you're different when you get around certain people. So I feel like there's magical people that you come across along your career journey. And, you know, you may be very surprised who ends up becoming a client or someone that refers you to someone amazing. It's very unexpected sometimes, and the connections can move, like things can change really quickly.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm actually starting a podcast myself, and I already recorded my second single episode, but it's about the difference between motivation and devotion, and how motivation is really flaky, right? And you have to like wait for it to come along. But devotion is something you can decide that you're devoted to something and not wait around to be motivated and just do it anyway, which I think, you know, stems off of what you just said, is to just show up, and even if you don't want to.
So, Shri, one last question for both of you. Since your company is Inspire Agency, what inspires you, Sam, and then you, Jackie?
What inspires me? Well, I have a just about one-year-old daughter, an amazing husband, and I think just being the best human that I can be for them is what inspires me to show up every day and provide for them and my friends and my family, and just being able to do the things that I love on a daily basis and be oh so grateful for it.
I would say I make sure that I get outside every day, almost every day, and go for a walk in nature, because we spend so much time on technology or computers or phones. And I know that I actually like need time away from those things. It's just in silence. So I actually find stepping away from like the busyness of everyday life and what's like, we're not humans doing, we're human beings. So just being able to be, I find, inspires me. I have to be quiet at different times.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you both so much for being here. I really appreciate it. I hope the people learned from this today. So thank you again for living without Annette.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that's it for now. Thanks everyone for joining us. Please reach out to me so I can feature you on my show. I do respond to everyone. You can find me on my Instagram at Jennifer Sherlock or my business Instagram at JennaCom. And check out our new website coming soon, livewithoutanette.com. Thanks again, and I look forward to taking risks with you.